Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. I'm excited about the show this morning. Lots to get our teeth into, and I'm sure lots of debate as well, as Michael Carrick appears to have chosen his midfield three. Lots of conversation. We thought we were in for a big summer of uncertainty, excitement, and multiple targets. But the reality is, when you don't even have to dig that deep, three might already be in front of us, and less than £150 million. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, the continuing fallout around the England team, which, to be honest with you, I felt sorry for Harry Maguire, but I think the next day we just need to bloody move on. We've not left out bloody prime Wayne Rooney, have we? I mean, I'm disappointed for Maguire, but some of the stuff's getting a bit embarrassing, isn't it? Surely. Also, we'll be talking about Marcus Rashford, Kruppi, Bruno Fernandes' new contract from Fabrizio Romano. Lots to get into on the show this morning. And it's the Friday, and it's the Friday, and it's Friday, and it's hot in the UK, which is just like Christmas, lots to get involved in. How am I muted? How the hell am I muted? I can't be muted. Sound's gone. How am I muted? Am I still muted now? Not muted. Was I ever muted, or is it just a load of people refreshing? I think it was muted for some people. Apologies. Yeah, I think it was for some people, to be fair. I was muted in Ireland. Anyway, look, basically, if you didn't hear the start, Manchester United's midfield three by Michael Carrick may well have been chosen. We're going to talk about this England fallout with Maguire. I think it's a bit embarrassing now, 24 hours later on. New contract for Bruno, Romano update, Kruppi, and a couple of other bits, Marcus Rashford as well. England squad announcements. We already know the England squad, mate. We don't need the announcement. We've literally known it in the UK for about 12 hours, and this is the United Stand. So let me start. Let me go. Let's rip. Here we go. Michael Carrick's midfield three. Belabor, Ederson, and Fernandes. What are your thoughts on that as our midfield three? I need to run a poll here. Let's get it set up. There you go. So let's start a poll. Are Ederson, how do I word this? Are you happy with Belabor, Fernandes, and Ederson? A lot of people are saying, why do you think this? Why do you think this? Okay, so last night we spoke about how there is clearly conversations going on with Ederson, whether we like them or not. Even Chris Wheeler spoke about it last night. This morning, we have an update around Fernandes, which is very interesting, and Belabor. I think that Ederson will cost us £35 million. Fernandes will cost us £55 million, which takes it to 90. And then Belabor will cost us about £60 million. So £150 million is spent easily on Belabor, Fernandes, and Ederson. We are clearly, according to a lot of journalists looking at Ederson in the last few days, we are clearly obsessed with Belabor, which many of us know, and there's an update on that this morning. But more interestingly, this came in last night from Jacob Steinberg, who has been very good in relation to Manchester United transfer news, especially around Ten Hag losing his job a few years ago, football reporter for The Guardian. On Fernandes and Manchester United, there are quite a few clubs in for him. The information I had this week was if he was to stay in England, then the place he'd most likely go to is United. There are some links there, the biggest one being Carl McCauley, who was at West Ham briefly at their recruitment chief, and he brought Fernandes to West Ham last summer. He left when Graham Potter was sacked and turns up at United. You also have Jason Wilcox, with Fernandes being an ex-Southampton player and Wilcox's history at Southampton. Obviously, if West Ham go down, his price goes up. If they stay up, they'll be looking at the sale of Fernandes as something almost on its own solves their financial problems as well. So look, if he stays in England, Fernandes to Manchester United is highly likely. So this midfield summer, I mean, look, I'm not scaremongering here. It was just something this morning, and I was thinking, well, look, Ederson, we're apparently quite close to doing a deal. Fernandes, West Ham are close to going down, and he would be a midfielder that Man United really like. And Belaba is a midfielder that we really like. And that's it. That would be the summer over. Forget Chiumini, forget Stiller, forget Anderson, forget Tonali, forget Scott. That would be it. That would be the midfield three. And I wouldn't put it past Man United. Now, look, what I would say is it's May the 22nd. Have we really figured out Man United's midfield three before the transfer window officially opens? I think that might be a slight leap. But logically, I think that, well, look, even the Manchester Evening News said this about Belaba this morning. Belaba remains highly rated by Man United, with personal terms not an issue. United like the data around Belaba and have not cooled their interest despite his struggles this season. His recent form return to form and the fact that they could lower their demands could make a deal more attractive. There is also interest in whether Belaba gives any sign he believes he's played his final game for Brighton after the game on Sunday. I mean, look, that is pure propaganda. You know, sometimes I wouldn't wipe my arse on the Manchester Evening News, but the reality is that feels a bit like, I don't, it could be an opinion piece by the journalist. It could be being fed by the club. There are aspects to that update I don't like and I will call out, but I can't call out the fact that United rates Belaba. I can't call out the fact that we did personal terms last year. I can't call out the fact that he'd love to come to Man United, and I can't call out the fact that we probably will go for him. What I would call out is, what data is it that Man United like around Belaba? Because we can all run the data. They don't have access to a system we don't have access to. We can all run the data on Belaba. His passing completion shit, his carrying of the ball is shit, and his defensive actions aren't better than four or five other targets. As for struggles earlier this season, I didn't realise that mid-April was earlier this season. Like, he wasn't getting picked in mid-April. He hardly got picked between January and mid-April. That's not earlier this season, so that's a complete and utter load of bollocks. And his return to form, what, a good game against Chelsea? He played well against Chelsea. I watched the game. He did play well against Chelsea. But his struggles earlier in the season and his return to form, He wasn't in the Brighton team in mid-April, and he's only had one fucking good game all season. I mean, this is the propaganda you get fed. Apparently, he only had a few bad games at the start of the season, couldn't get in the team till mid-April, and apparently his return to form had one good game against Chelsea, who were shit. So, you know, just be wary of the data. He only had bad games at the start of the season and his return to form. Yeah, the data's shit. He couldn't get in the team until mid-April and he's had one good game against Chelsea. And he'll probably have a worldie on Sunday as well. But look, the data pool is shit. And I think as United fans, sometimes we really do overhype things because we're so desperate for it to work. I mean, have you ever thought that, you know, all the people moaning about Shaw and Maguire not being in the England squad, it's because they're not actually that good? It's because they're actually not in the top five centre-backs and left-backs in England at the moment. We might want to give them 400 grand a week combined and start them for Man United every week, but maybe, just maybe, they're not actually in the top five in their position in the league. Maybe that's the debate point, you know? Maybe we're just shit because we over-inflate everything. Maybe. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. Have we got our midfield three? I mean, look, it's definitely worth considering what happens if our midfield three is Ederson, Fernandes, Belaba and Maynou, because you will get it for under 150 million quid. Definitely you'll get those three players. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean we're screwed. Fernandes has good potential.
Edison is a bit of an unknown quantity, and Belaba, if I'm being kind, has potential, but so is Main. I mean, that, to me, the big thing is there. I would disagree with anybody saying Belaba's total shit, Fernandez is shit, and Edison's shit. I think that's too far. I think the problem would be with that three is the lack of experience. Mainoo is 20, Belaba and Fernandez are early 20s, and Edison at 27 has never played in the Premier League or for Brazil. So the huge void of inexperience would be a massive problem. And I'm sorry, I can't really build a midfield two that makes me think we're going to do well in the Premier League or the Champions League. Whether it's Mainoo or Belaba, or Mainoo and Fernandez, or Mainoo and Edison, or Edison and Belaba, or Fernandez and Belaba, or Fernandez and Edison, I just sort of like go, I don't think that strikes fear into the midfield of Bournemouth, let alone Liverpool or Man City or Arsenal. So I'd be very surprised if that's our midfield three. But where I would completely, and remember, we've got Ben Jacobs on at 2 o'clock, so we'll be able to ask about all this. But where I would agree that it could happen is that all three of those players are achievable for £150 million. And secondary to that, you wouldn't put it past Man United doing a window like that. You wouldn't put it past Wilcox doing a window like that. It's the sort of, oh, look at me, hipster clever shit that, you know, goes really badly wrong very, very quickly. But logically, you'd have to be a bloody moron to think that that midfield three replaces what or solves the problem that we've got. But they are very, very... very achievable. And I think the interesting thing is that, you know, the Guardian say Fernandez would choose Man United. We all know that Belaba would choose Man United. And if Edison is the same, we like players that choose Man United. And I don't agree with that, by the way. I don't think the number one sort of attraction to a player is that they want to play for Man United. I think they've got to be good enough to play for Man United. And sometimes we've got to persuade them to play for Manchester United, because I think some people get lost in the romanticism of, yeah, well, let's sign Fernandez because he wants to sign for Man United. But who is better, Fernandez or Tonali? Maybe Tonali's thinking about Arsenal. Maybe Tonali's thinking about PSG. Maybe you've got to persuade him to come to Man United. Look, we haven't won a title for 13 years. We haven't been in the Champions League latter stages for a decade. So if you want to get the best midfielders, they're probably going to look at us and go, I'm not so sure. You know, they're probably not going to be waking up in their Man United pyjamas singing Ollie's at the Wheel, are they? You might have to persuade top players to come to Manchester United. We can't be so arrogant that we don't go for players that don't want to come to us. We have to persuade them. That's what a director of football does. If Jason Wilcox's job is, I'm only going to go for players that want to come to Man United, your job's a piece of piss, mate. You're not doing your job. Oh, I'm only going to sign players that want to come here. Well, what a hard job that is. Oh, that must be really difficult. So, no, look, if you've got a player like Cunha that wants to come to Man United, happy days. But we do need to persuade players that are at the top level, because they might look at United and go, maybe that's not right for me, you know? So, look, I think that... somebody just said in the chat, what's your percentage that's our midfield work done? Mate, I would be massively disappointed if that's our midfield work done. I would. But I would acknowledge that there's a lot of noise around Edison, there's a lot of noise around Fernandez, and there's a lot of noise around Belaba. And at this moment in time, they probably are the most advanced deals going on. I need to update the hotometer because I don't know whether I actually have it in there at the moment. But let me just... if you're not up to date with our hotometer, it basically lists the players that are most likely to sign for Manchester United at the moment. So there it is on the screen. It does need a bit of an update. But yeah, Belaba at 7, Edison at 6, and Fernandez at 5. They were there from 2 weeks ago. I would say right now, Edison probably moves up to a 7 as well. And Fernandez probably moves up to a 7. I'd still keep Tonali on a 5, Anderson on a 6. I mean, Stiller can stay down on a 3. Wharton probably drops down as well. But I would say Fernandes and Ederson would be on a seven with Belaba at the moment. Yeah, 100% they are the three most likely deals at the moment based on stories, availability, and, you know, let's break it down. I mean, I don't want to have too many things going on because you've got the five strands of a transfer. We've got the stages of a transfer. And we don't want to have anything else to remember. But look, price, availability, desire to come to Man United, those three players at the moment, Ederson, Belaba and Fernandes, top that list. All want to come to United, all reasonably priced and all available this summer. For Man United, that can, you know what? If hot weather today, right? Your dog goes in the garden, or maybe another dog has come through the fence, does a big steaming shit on your garden, right? How long before flies are attracted to that shit? And you know what? That dog doing a steaming poo on your garden is the same as the things I've just listed there. Availability, price, and desire to come to Manchester United. How bored are those flies swarming towards that? Let's just hope it's not shit. You know, let's hope it's chocolate mousse or a nice can of Fanta. I think it's obviously, you know, over the years and over this summer, we will react to things that are speculative. Of course we will. But I think that, you know, that's the reason for a hotter meter. We're reacting to the stories on a news show. Look, I'm not going to scaremonger, like I said. Do I think Belaba and Belaba, Fernandes and Ederson is our midfield three for the summer? It could be. It could be. And with this board, we may as well go, you never know. But I'm saying to you now, for whatever you think of my opinion, I don't think it will be. I think logically, £150 million, you get all three. All available. All want to come. All reasonably priced. So, yeah, logically, it could be those three. But the balance doesn't make sense. For me, you go for Belaba or Fernandes. You know, maybe you bring Ederson in as the third midfielder because he's cheap. You go for Belaba or Fernandes, and then you still go for Tonali, Tchouaméni, or Anderson. Because, look, if I give you Tonali and Ederson, and then it's Fernandes or Belaba, I think it's a different conversation, isn't it? So look, I absolutely agree. You could spend 70 on Belaba, you could spend 50 on Fernandes, and you could spend 30 on Ederson, and that's your 150, and that's your midfield business done before July. But United don't work like that anyway. We're not quick on deals, and it's the makeup of the. As I said, there's a lack of experience there, and there's a lack of experience in the boardroom and there's a lack of experience in the coaching setup. I just don't think United are that stupid. There'll be somebody with some sense, and it might be Michael Carrick, it might be Favell, it might be Sir Jim Radcliffe. There'll be somebody in that room that goes, hold on a minute, Coxie, well done. You've come up with a master plan, but it's too quick. It's not quite right. But right here, right now, I would move Ederson to a seven, and I would move Fernandes to a seven, which puts those three as the top three right now. And I acknowledge that, certainly. 75% of you would not be happy with Belaba, Fernandes and Ederson, by the way. Andy Webster says, this update will be correct. Now we see why we've got Carrick. Tuchel doesn't rate players. Our leadership think are great. No top manager comes to this team. I do want to talk about that in a minute, by the way, because I think that, you know, I was initially disappointed about Maguire not getting in the England squad, but I think some of the reaction to it is bloody embarrassing. And like with any disappointment, you know, Maguire's probably disappointed. His family's probably disappointed. But journalists, fans, come on. You know, it was disappointing last night. Today is a new day. We move on. He's not even a bloody starter for England, is he? You know, in fact, when you think about it, for Man United, a 33-year-old centre-back not going to play in a World Cup in a hot climate probably benefits us for next season anyway. Couldn't give a shit anymore, if I'm being completely honest. Not sure why we go for potential and not talent, says Harry. Could be cheaper. I really won't be happy if we just get those three. We need Anderson and a player with maybe two of them. I agree, United, Nick. Jamil, I'm going to come back to your super chat, Jamil, because it's about the next topic. What's Belabor's data like last season? Was he that good, says Dave? I mean, look, I'm not going to overanalyze Belabor on this show, Dave, but his data this season's terrible, literally. And United are trying to bloody make out that he's got some sort of hidden data that they've only got access to. I mean, it's not Indiana Jones and the bloody Last Crusade. They haven't got some hidden data in a goblet that only they know about. We've all got eyes, and he's not been very good this season. That's the reality. Instead of this midfield three, would we be happy with two midfield signings only and one of them being a 100 million signing like Anderson or Tonali? Something to think about, says Ali. No, because Manchester United need to buy three midfielders. Ultimately, yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Patrick Lynch with a very generous super chat this morning says, not surprised with any of these signings. Belabor and Edison have been talked about for a long time. It's not backing Carrick properly or replacing Casemiro, really. If it goes wrong, be ready for Carrick to be hit with they spent X amount backing him. Patrick, if I could stand up, which I actually can, I've just remembered. Absolutely spot on, mate. I will not shut up over the last few days about what happened to Jose Mourinho. Man United, since Sir Alex Ferguson retired, have been shit. One season stands out as credible. The only season we got to 80 points was Mourinho's last full season. 81 points, second in the league. The summer they delivered was shit. Was it Dalot, Fred and Grant? You know, you finish second with 81 points and you get Fred, Dalot and Grant. And he's gone, he's sacked by Christmas. And everybody's singing, oh, he's at the wheel. Jose out. Nobody was going, get this fucking Glazers out of our football club. It was Jose's fault. And the Saint, you're absolutely right about Carrick. You're absolutely right. You know, if they don't deliver him a good summer transfer window by Christmas, it'll be, oh, never should have given him the job in the first place. He's an amateur. Which might be true, but also will be true that he didn't get the players he needed either. And I still stand by it. I mean, Amorim gets a load of shit, but the reality is they didn't even give him a midfielder for a system that needs midfielders. So I think Fernandes will reject United and will end up with only Edison and Belabor. If we buy those three, we're going to stay out the top four for the next 5 years, says Bale with justice. Andre Gomez says, I couldn't sleep. It's 3 a.m. here. And just before I go to sleep, I find out our midfield rebuild will get us nowhere. Riddle me this. How long has it been since we last had a proper midfield, says Andre. You know what, Andre? There is something magical about that. I mean, I'm just going to we talk about football all the time. And you're an amazing community. And I love doing this every day. But you've just caught me there. You know, it fascinates me and makes me feel like special. Not individually or even as a channel. It never fails to amaze me that we might have people in different parts of the world watching at 2-3 a.m. in the morning. What a powerful football club Manchester United is. And I'm not talking about the Glazers or Sir Jim or Bruno. I'm talking about what Man United means to us all. That it unites. I mean, when I was in the United States last year in New York, I was doing shows at like 8 o'clock at night their time. But it was like 1 a.m. UK time and we still had loads of people watching. It's just, it's a privilege. I love doing it. Thank you very much, Andre. And I'm sorry if I've ruined your night's sleep with panic. Look, what I would say, Andre, if you are just about to go to sleep, of course, I would put Belabor and Edison and Fernandes at the moment on a 7 out of 10 likelihood and the top three most likely signings as of this morning, because Fernandes would come to Man United, according to Jacob Steinberg. Loads of people are talking about Edison, and we know that Belabor would fucking walk to Manchester from Brighton easily. He wouldn't even get an Uber. So, yeah, they are the three most popular and the three most likely, and they're all achievable for 150 million quid, and they all want to come to the club, and they're all available. So, yeah, Wilcox could be sat there, you know, cooking up this whatever you want to call it. But I still would say, as much as I think United are shit in the board, I still think there'll be somebody with authority saying that can't be our summer. It can't be our summer. two of these lads are under 23 and one of them's never played in the Premier League before, and Mainoo's 20. That can't be our midfield next season. We have to get somebody. There has to be a status signing. There has to be a shirt seller. So I still hold that out. I might not be right, but I would say I don't think that will be the midfield three. We might get two of them. We might get one of them. I doubt we'll get all three. It doesn't make any sense. And United need to sell shirts this summer. United need to sell optimism this summer. Whatever people think, Carrick is a split. I think we all love Carrick, but I think those of us who are harsh on that decision, it's not because we don't like Carrick, it's because we just don't like the decision. So they've got to sell something that makes people believe next season and makes us intimidating. I mean, you have to be intimidating. I don't think people are intimidated by Man United. Everybody I talk to, Arsenal fans, Liverpool fans, Chelsea fans, they'll all go, this is their reaction. You probably see it yourself. You know what? You're doing really well. And it's the way their voice goes higher. And they go, you know what? You're doing really well. And it's almost like they're taking a piss. Because they genuinely do think we're doing well, but they're not doing it in a way in, oh God, you're doing really well. There's no fear. It's sort of like, you know what? You are actually doing really well. And I'm like, stop talking so high. Why can't you go, you know what? You're doing really well. Why do you have to go, you know what? You're doing really well? Because that just makes them sound like they're taking a piss. Because they're shocked that we're doing well. You know what? You are doing really well. And I'm like, yeah, to be fair, they're right. I don't think there's any fear in relation to us winning these games and finishing third. I think there's a bit of surprise. So next season, I don't think we go into next season and people go, oh, I'm worried about United. But if you go and buy Anderson and Tonali, I think you do. So look, nobody can take away from the fact that the results have been fantastic, but I don't think there's any fear around United. I think it's more like they've done really well to get those results, because actually people don't really think we're that good. So yeah, I think United need to go and buy some good players. Ginger Red said, I'm loving the show this morning. I hope you're all doing well. The only thing Wilcox listens to is his budgie. It says cheap, 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 says Ginger Red. I don't know why I laughed at that. United like belabor data from where PSV for 22, says Melvin. Yeah, we probably haven't paid the subscription fee on our data system, have we? And the data they're looking at went up to April 2025. No one's falling for your Iron Mike, sorry. Let me just get rid of this person. He basically said, I will be fair. He said, no one's falling for your click bay anymore, you waffler. Just look, haters gonna hate. We had Alicia on last night talking shit. I think these people are just a bit unstable. I feel sorry for them in a way, because they just want to hate. They just want to see the world burn, really. And that's why good people must always prosper over evil. But just to calm you down a little bit, mate, because I do worry about people's mental health. And Iron Mike, more like Poppadom Mike, because Iron suggests that you're strong and you've obviously got the mental strength of a Poppadom, because you're falling apart at 28 minutes past 10 on a Friday morning trying to call this show clickbait. We've been doing this show for 10 years, Mike, and just in case somebody's new, the 10 o'clock show on the United Stand is a news show. So it's news. So Jacob Steinberg is a real person from The Guardian. Chris Wheeler is a real person from The Daily Mail. Ty Marshall is a real journalist from the Manchester Evening News. Thomas Tuchel has really dropped Harry Maguire. Marcus Rashford story, Fabrizio Romano, Bruno story we're going to talk about. These are all real people, mate. It can't be clickbait and waffle, because it's real news. Now, 8 o'clock could be complete and utter Goldbridge propaganda bullshit. I'll own that. I'll own that. You know, that could just be me waffling my opinions for kicks. Yeah, but not the 10 o'clock show. It's a news show, mate. Sure, not in the World Cup squad official, says Charlie. Whoa! Wait a minute, Charlie. Just seeing a fucking pigeon go past my head. Was that the one coming back from your house? Because mate, you need to get dial up. You're getting your news by pigeon. Pete the Pigeon. Luke Shaw not in the World Cup squad. Fucking hell, mate. Welcome to today. We knew that last night. We have to get either Anderson or Tonali, says VX. Thank you very much. Let me just talk about the Slow Sports News. We're having a good time this morning. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We've got 10,000 watching this morning. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel if you are new. We are live every morning at 10 o'clock with Iron Mike and me. We are live every night at 8 o'clock, and we have the 2 o'clock show today with Beth and Ben Jacobs, the best B&B in town. If you know, do people still do bed and breakfast now? It's more Airbnb, isn't it? But yeah, so that'll be good for transfer stuff. But obviously we do go live a lot over the summer outside those dates. It could be 11 o'clock at night. It could be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So make sure you're subscribing. Rob says, sure, injury incoming. Look, let me just talk about this World Cup stuff because we did it last night. Harry Maguire's not in the England World Cup squad. Luke Shaw's not in the England World Cup squad. I, last night, felt quite bad for Harry Maguire, but I actually woke up this morning and I feel quite embarrassed about it. Harry Maguire's got every right to be disappointed, and so has his family members and friends. But we are Man United fans, and journalists are journalists, and some of the reaction to this is ridiculous. I saw one journalist write an entire article about it, like a checklist, calling Maguire a good tourist, a popular figure with players, impactful in both boxes, used to handling intense pressure, can take a penalty. His omission from the World Cup is utterly bewildering. Yeah, okay, hasn't played a competitive England game for 2 years. Can't play a high line. Is 33. World Cup is a game every 3 or 4 days in a hot climate. I mean, all of those are quite good reasons why not to take him as well. Look, I'm disappointed for him and I would have took him. But the reaction by certain people, journalists, etc., is like we've left out prime Harry Kane. It's Harry Maguire. He wouldn't start in an England team. You know, I was disappointed last night, but come on. The reaction is ridiculous. It's embarrassing. People are like, you know, he's a backup centre-back. And Jordan Henderson's going. You know, how many more not-going-to-play experienced cheerleaders do we need? I am disappointed for Maguire. I was disappointed last night. But you know what? You go to sleep, you wake up, and it's a new day, and you move on. Obviously, for Harry and his family, that it's going to bother them for a while, and I'm sure watching the World Cup's going to be very painful, and I completely accept that. But as a journalist, and as a United fan, or a football fan, to be waking up today and still bewildered by Maguire not being in the England squad, well, I can think of quite a few reasons why he's not in the squad. He hasn't played for 2 years. Tuchel hasn't used him in any competitive games. Hasn't used him in any competitive games at all. I think Maguire maybe should have had people around him saying, you might not get picked. Because I saw the interview he did with Ian Wright and it felt like he thought he was going. And you know what? Is that a little bit bewildering from him that he hasn't figured out there is a chance that he might not be going? You know, you've never played a competitive game for Tuchel. You only got called up in March because of some injuries. And you think you were going to the World Cup. I mean, the writing was on the wall a little bit. And look, I would say this, he can't play a high line. It's a very, very hot climate and he's 33. He does pick up injuries. I think he would have been happy to go as like a bench player around the squad. But if you're a manager, you must, and this is where we go wrong at Man United. Look at the leadership team at United, Tom Heaton, Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, Delow. They sort of run the dressing room, don't they? And we've seen that over the last few months. Will it work long term? Has it worked in the past? Thomas Tuchel might be a manager that goes, yeah, you know what? You might be a leader in the dressing room, but I don't want you in my dressing room. I'm the leader. I know who my leadership team is. I know the team that got me to the World Cup. I know these players. You haven't been part of this for 2 years. I'm going on a World Cup in a very intense environment for 30 days. I want to know the players that I've got. And maybe that's what it is. And that's what a manager should do. So, look, I'm disappointed for Maguire, but move on. Fucking hell. You know, it's not the end of the world. And actually, selfishly, we've given him a new contract. I'm not sure that was the right thing to do, but we've done it. We've got Champions League and Premier League football next year. What's better for me as a Man United fan? Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire going to America for a month, playing games every 3 or 4 days in a hot climate, or Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire going to, you know, Mallorca for a couple of weeks and having a full rest ahead of a season in their 30s. It's better for us. It's actually better for us. And maybe Man United could learn a few things about how Thomas Tuchel's behaved or how Luis Enrique behaves or how Jose Mourinho behaves. Because I'll tell you what, we keep hold of these types of characters at this club for too long. We keep hold of these leadership players at Man United for so long. But what have they led us to? you know, Luke Shaw, not in an England squad because he's not one of the best left-backs in England. Harry Maguire, not in an England squad because he's not considered to be one of the best centre-backs in England. Man United, they're starting. And they're on our leadership team. What does that say about our leadership team? So, you know what? I think they've been good servants to the club, but I think it's time for us to be moving on, if I'm being honest. And I think it's... I don't think it's that deep. What more? Ray says, what more saddens me about Maguire and Shaw is they're more disappointed that they're not playing for England than watching Arsenal win the title. Actually, not. You know what, Ray? I did hear somebody say the reaction by Maguire to instantly post something before the team had even come out shows why Tuchel was right not to take him, because somebody who's putting themselves before the team shows that maybe they weren't the right person. I think that's a bit of a stretch. But look, I'm sure Luke Shaw has said in the past that he likes getting away from Man United to go and play for England. I think Martinez probably feels the same about Argentina as well. I'm not really bothered. What I want is a decent Man United side. And I think we've become so indoctrinated to being shit at Man United. I think the mentality... I saw another journalist taking a pop at Roy Keane this morning, you know, and I was sort of just shut up. Well, don't shut up. You're allowed to type what you like. But I'm like, taking a pop at Roy Keane because Roy Keane has standards. And I'm sort of like going, I don't agree with everything Roy Keane says, far from it. But writing an article about the problem about Roy Keane, the last time I checked, we haven't been near a league title in 13 years. The last time I checked, it's a 50-50 chance whether we'll even qualify for the Champions League. The last time I checked, we hadn't played two good games of football in a row, like stylistically. And now we're slagging off Roy Keane for saying that United standards are in the mud. You're indoctrinated, people. You've actually been poisoned by the Glazers. That you actually side with the Glazer-owned Man United regime over an ex-player who's won it all at Man United. But Roy Keane's the problem. The amount of times I've seen over the last 6 months, these ex-players are the problem. They're always negative. And I feel like going, look, I don't agree with everything they say. I thought what Button Skull said about, was it Martinez, wasn't right. But ex-players are the problem. Like they're sat there on a podcast causing us to finish fucking sixth. Or they're sat there on a podcast causing us to buy shit in the summer. It's... The problem with Man United is that our standards are in the mud. And like I say, all those rival fans that go high-pitched because we finished third and go, you know what, you've done really well. They're not scared, they're shocked. They're not scared about us. Third place is really good, but they're not scared about Man United. Our standards need to be a lot better. And look, if I was on that board, I said it yesterday, if I was on that board, I'd be removing Luke Shaw. I'd be removing Delo. I wouldn't have given Maguire the contract. I'd have said, thank you very much for everything you've done. You've been great servants to the club, but the reason we fail is because we keep using people like yourselves, and we need to move on from people like yourselves. You know, there's another club in light blue with Pep Guardiola. He moves on De Bruyne. He moves on David Silva. He moves on Kyle Walker. He moves on John Stones. Bayern Munich won John Stones. John Stones is going to the World Cup. This is what I can't get my head around. This is an amazing topic. I was talking about Man City getting rid of John Stones, and people were like, oh, that's because he's washed. He's going to the fucking World Cup. Bayern Munich want him. He does have injuries, but Bayern Munich want him and he's going to the World Cup. He's hardly going to play for fucking Burnley, is he? He's still going to be playing Champions League football and he's still going to a World Cup. But Man City have gone, no, you've served your purpose. It's time to go. John Stones, David Silva, Kyle Walker, Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne are some of Man City's best ever players and they move them on. Man United, Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Delo, whatever, right? They ain't fit to lace the boots of those players and they move them on and we keep them. It's not personal to those players. If I was one of those players and United was saying, there's a contract, do you want to stay for another year? You're going to sign the contract. The ruthlessness comes from the board. It's not Luke Shaw's job to say, I don't think I'm good enough anymore. There's my 170 grand a week, I'm off. He's got 2 years left on his deal. It's the board's job. The board at Man City removed De Bruyne. They removed Bernardo Silva. They removed David Silva. They removed Kyle Walker. At United, we keep this sentimentality. And until we figure this out,
We will not be at that level. We've never, you know, how many years have we been talking about clearing the deadwood? We just don't do it. The bomb squad, you know, the bomb squad, it's like going to a bloody plastic bag with the robot on going, it's not a bomb, it's just a bag of fruit. Bomb squad my arse. That was the biggest load of bollocks. Garnacho wanted to go. Anthony wanted to go. Rashford wanted to go. Who else was it? Malassi's still here. And Sancho, we loaned him out. Rajaf says, Garner and Scott deserve a call-up more than Harry, says Rajaf. Mate, you know what? I said this. I'm going to do a video on That's Football. But look, let's move on. What's more sad? Done that from Ray. Jed Spence for Alexander-Arnold. Let's keep this to That's Football because we're moving away from United. The only do Ben and Jerry's, not B&B, says Chris. Samorus, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. Let me just say as a reminder, by the way, obviously big news with the United stand last month in relation to our team up with Overlap, etc. Some people have said, oh, amazing, everything's going to change, which it hasn't, obviously. However, there will be some changes coming up over the next few weeks and months. Exciting changes, announcements. So I haven't forgotten about stuff like that. There's just a lot going on with United and, you know, normal.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Business on the United stand, as you know and love, reacting 10 o'clock shows, 8 o'clock shows. But, you know, as I said at the time, that was an announcement. There will be a lot more stuff coming up. Don't forget my earlier super chat about Maguire, says Jamil. I'm working towards it, mate. VIR says, I think it's a travesty to call ourselves an ambitious club and not go for Anderson. He fits both the technical and player profile the owners want and fans disgusted with the ownership. VIR, look, I don't want to, you know, give Iron Mike any, you know, more, you know, ammunition because it's Iron Mike. But I'm not going to talk about Anderson this morning because there are no news updates on Anderson. So this is not news. This is just opinion. I think with Elliot Anderson, I completely agree with you. You have to go and get that player. I mean, he's fucking... You know what pisses me off about Elliot Anderson is the same thing happened with Cherky. You know, we played an epic game at Old Trafford against Lyon in an... you know, that stadium last... That's one of my favourite games, by the way, of the last 10 years. And we didn't even win the fucking tournament. That Europa League game against Lyon, Harry Maguire, the bottle of red, it was one of my favourite games of United in the last decade. And Cherky was on that pitch. You know, it would have been a bit as easy as, there's your wage, there's the contract, signed for Man United. And he'd already signed for Man City probably at that point. But, you know, we've done it again. Elliot Anderson, great game on Sunday. Really good game of football. Both teams did really well. Great atmosphere. And, you know, again, you know, they're actually... at Old Trafford, experiencing it on a good day. And let's be honest, Lyon and Forest are probably two of the better days at Old Trafford in the last 18 months. I mean, sometimes it's bloody shit. And we fail to get both players whilst giving them the perfect audition, you know? Edison isn't elite, but he's aggressive. It's a workhorse, gives you everything over 90 minutes. All action player we've lacked, says Irish Beck. I don't mind Edison as the third midfielder. I've said that before. The reason they won't go for Tonali or Henderson is because they couldn't afford to go for Belaba, who they seem obsessed with as well, says Steve Rogers. I pledge two shirts if United buy Anderson and Scott, says Bale with Justice. Look, I like to have a bit of fun. If we sign Stiller, I'm Carrick in passionately all next season. We can lose 7-0 to Liverpool and I'll still be going Carrick in. So, you know, I will chuck the... never going to happen signing, but if we did sign him, I'd be all over it. I said the same about Bruno. You know, I was obsessed with Bruno and I'm obsessed with Stiller. Out of the Carrick three, who would be the Casemiro replacement, says Peter? Belaba. They talk to us like they're telling a kid they've got done a great drawing, says McElvis. And the Duke Studio, thank you, pal, hope you're doing well. He says, things we got from Casemiro where they wouldn't bring his quality, aerial ability, focus, defensive awareness. We need a presence someone teams have to plan towards when they face us. I completely agree. Belaba was behind Mainu development this season, says Junkyard. Edison has Fred written all over him, but worse, says Marlowe. We're critical of Ten Hag bringing ex-players in. Why is it okay for Wilcox to bring players he worked with, Delap and now Fernandez, says Eric Keyes. What do you rate Mamadou Sangare from Lens, defensive midfielder who can play box to box? I think he'll end up at someone like Brighton or Bournemouth or Newcastle, mate. I've not heard anything about Man United. There's a couple of players in the French league at the moment. I forget the second player's name. I think he might be at Monaco. There's another one that could end up at like Brighton or Bournemouth or, you know, Newcastle. But I've not heard anything about United looking at any players in the French league. Nothing. Nothing at all. I've just been sent something about Edison and we're going to come back to it. Not sure why we go for potential, not talent. Look, it could be a really busy next few days on the United stand. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I know we've been doing 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 8 o'clock for the last few months, but we're going into a transfer window. You might start getting five o'clock shows and all sorts. Not sure why we go for potential, not talent. I'm coming back to that in a minute. Andy Webster, we did. Oh, Jamil said, Maguire's been overhyped because people fear past criticism. Decent, not great. Slow gets turned, liability in a back four, saved by the keeper. England moved on, United should have too. He's a liability. Jamil, I think it's a very brave comment and I think you do it in a very respectful way. As somebody that was very much on Harry Maguire's back, I mean, look, I get the criticism for criticising Maguire, but I don't apologise for it. I think it went too far at times in relation to the banter. But I think about him moving Luke Shaw out of the way during COVID to let Spurs score and some of the mistakes he was making. They did happen. He was shit at that time. You know, it wasn't made up. It might have gone a bit far, but it wasn't made up. And obviously there was the bomb threats and everything like that. So it did go too far. And I remember a content creator calling him a C using the C word. And I got sent that clip. It never really went that big, but, you know, It did happen. So it did go too far. But he has come back from that. And I think in football, Maguire deserves the credit that he's had and the contracts that he's had and the praise that he's had. Absolutely. You know, there was a time where he's being ridiculed and he's had a, you know, I mentioned Leon. Even this season, you know, there's been big goals in games. So I think he's, you know, he's come back from that. But you can also be balanced, Jamil. And I think you are balanced. I think for the last few weeks of the season, if you think about the Bournemouth game, he didn't play particularly well. There's been a couple of other games recently where I think he struggled with pace. I don't think he played particularly well against Liverpool. So, look, in a back four, I think he's a problem at 33. But you know what? Most 33-year-olds are going to struggle in a back four. It's age and he's never had pace. So, you know, I think we're talking like England haven't picked Harry Kane. We haven't picked Harry Maguire. VR says, thanks for reading my super chat and all the great work. It's pronounced Via. Via, okay. I fully agree with you on Cat Cherky point. Thank you, pal. I'll remember that. I'd be happy with Belaba, Fernandez and Tonali, Anderson or Stiller. I could do that, Phil. I could do that. Carrick's getting confirmed in the next hour or so, by the way. Just to let you know, Michael Carrick will officially be announced in the next hour or so. I won't be doing a video to that, by the way, because we know he's going to be the Man United manager, but it will be done today. Austin, welcome to the Members Club. You're a legend, sir. Hills says, Tonali and Fernandez and Scott would be solid. Tonali replacing Casemiro, Fernandez to fight with Mainu and Scott to learn from Bruno. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay, I've got a couple of other things I just need to check in on here. Might leave some of it till later on because it's not as good. We've got that. Okay, here it is. The deal is almost closed between Man United and Atalanta for Edison for a fee of £43 million. Agreement all fronts. And this is coming in from Michelle Cristiello. of TV della Sport in Italy. I don't know about that. Look, I've been doing this for a long time. Some of you will know more than me. Some of you will know less than me. Welcome to world. But I told the story about DiMarzio. That's 10 years ago that DiMarzio had a brilliant Man United transfer summer. Never had one since. Italian and Turkish and Portuguese reports I put in the same category. It's different to the UK, but similar. There are certain outlets in the UK where you know it's bullshit. But I find with Italian reports, they're very, in my opinion, Italian news outlets are very good at glowing up their players and their clubs. So if Atalanta want to sell Edison, they're more than happy to write an article saying Man United very close to signing Edison's Atalanta because it benefits the Italian club. So we'll have to wait and see. But what I would say about Edison is I have felt for a long time that it might be agent-led, but we're starting to get more and more UK outlets talking about it. So Edison could be heading to Manchester United. Logically, it's cheap. Illogically, never played for Brazil. Not in the Brazil World Cup squad. I think he has got a couple of caps. 27 in the summer and never played in the Premier League. He doesn't actually fit Man United's parameters at all, but he is cheap. And I don't mind him as a player. I just think it's he's got to be midfield option number three. He can't be two or one. Simple as that. Finder, welcome to Members Club. Sam says, Carrick announced. I told you that was going to get announced in the next hour. So there you go. There you go. Only a week late. Sorry, I've just been sent that as well. There we go. They'll probably announce it at 11 o'clock, Man United, because they like to do it on the hoof. Matty Moreto has reposted the Edison story as well, by the way. So there could be something in that. Let's wait and see. Interestingly, Jacob Steinberg also said when talking about Fernandes that surprisingly, I was told that United were looking at Bowen as somebody that could slot in on the left side where they're a little bit weaker in terms of options. I mean, Jared Bowen plays from the fucking right. Jared Bowen, I mean, God, this summer could be crazy. I mean, hopefully we're just going to get linked to a load of people. We think 11 a.m. is when Michael Carrick will get announced, so I might just stay on for a little bit longer. Marlo says, you missed my first super chat. Have a good day. I didn't. I read it. I definitely read it. They're selling the massive midfield revamp propaganda as two average players, including Belaba, while we aspire to three players. We need a fan zometer next to Board's hotometer. Welcome to the Members Club, Finder. You're a legend. Board viewing Belaba's last season stats versus we do this, says Al. I'd be happy with Belaba. I've done that one as well. Okay. Please do share the video while you're watching. We are going to be staying live for about another 10 minutes anyway, because I've got a few things I want to get in. Man United have just dropped on Instagram. You know, yeah, they're really hyping up Carrick. They've put out, you know, on Instagram, because Carrick, you know, hard to believe it's not Scholes, it's Carrick. You know, so yeah, they're dropping him at 11, definitely. Marcus Rashford has also put a post out. Special thanks to Unai Emery, Hansi Flick, Thomas Tuchel, Aston Villa, Barcelona, and England for believing in me when things got tough. You know what? I respect it. I respect that from Rashford. People are going to lose their shit, right? But, God, there's so much news going on this morning. So, apparently, I need to double check this. Let's have a look. Marcus Rashford. That's what. Sometimes you've got to double check. Beth sent me it, so it'll be. It will definitely be true. Rashy. Don't look at the DMs.
There isn't any.
Yeah. Special thanks to Unai, Thomas, Aston. Probably put that on the screen for you. Or don't put that one up there. No, that's fine. God, I thought it'd gone somewhere else. Yeah, special thanks to Unai Emery, Hansi Flick, Thomas Tuchel, Aston Villa, Barcelona and England for believing in me when things got tough. That's Marcus Rashford. What are your thoughts about that post? Because it's out now and it's on his Instagram. No mention of Manchester United, says Wonky. Rashford being a knobhead, says Tim. Snake, says Mr. Sparkle. Rashford is salty, says John. Look, you know what? Let me be very clear. There are people in the Man United fan base that want to bring Starboy back. There are people in this fan base that, you know, backed Rashford over the club, over Amorim, over everything, okay? There's people in the fan base that, you know, live up the arse of Marcus Rashford, right? It's been very obvious for a very long time that Rashford doesn't like Man United in the sense that I think he loves Man United the club, but I don't think he likes the board and I don't think he likes the way the club has been run. Him not thanking Man United doesn't mean that he doesn't love Manchester United, the football club. I love Manchester United, the football club. I cannot stand the board and the people who run it. They've sabotaged it. So why should he thank people at Man United that he doesn't respect? Why should he thank Jason Wilcox or Sir Jim Radcliffe or the Glazers or anything like that? You know, he can't thank... It doesn't mean he doesn't love Man United, but why would he put in there and thank you, Man United? For what? Doesn't mean he doesn't love Man United, but the people at Man United he obviously doesn't respect. So why should he thank them? He said, before he went to Villa, that the journey was over and he needed a new challenge. It was very well reported that he doesn't want to come back to Man United. He wants to stay at Barcelona. I think there's a fine line between understanding that Rashford probably still does love Manchester United, but doesn't like the people at Man United. And that didn't stop when Amorim got the sack. People seem to blame Amorim because of Rashford. Marcus Rashford said he wanted to leave United in December. Amorim only got the job in late November. It's well reported that Sir Jim Radcliffe and Ineos wanted Rashford off the books. They wanted his wage off the books. Rashford's dislike for Amorim goes beyond Amorim. It goes into the boardroom. So Amorim's not there anymore. He still doesn't want to come back. He probably likes Michael Carrick. He still doesn't want to come back because he doesn't like the way he was treated at Manchester United. So why the fuck should he thank Man United for going to the World Cup? He did go to Villa and do very well under Unai Emery. He then went to Barcelona and did very well under Hansi Flick. And Thomas Tuchel has been picking him throughout that time. He picked him at Villa. So where does Man United get a thank you for that? Goes to Villa, gets in the England squad, goes to Barcelona, stays in the England squad, gets picked for the World Cup. I haven't got a problem with it. And you know me, I'm very honest. I'll shoot from my bad hip, about what I think about things. But I don't have a problem with Rashford not putting Man United in there. Because what have Man United done on his journey? If he'd stayed at Man United, he wouldn't be going to the World Cup, would he? So I ain't got a problem with it. And it doesn't mean he doesn't like Man United. Finishing third with a lucky season should intrigue us to go for fourth and reach the top while boards see it. Oh, we're almost there. We finished third as Al. And I think that's a great point as well. When you look at this summer transfer window and you look at us finishing third, I actually said this to somebody a couple of weeks ago. United have finished third and we're back in the Champions League. The split will be fans who think that we're back and the only way is up, and fans who think, yes, we finished third and we're back in the Champions League, but there's an element of papering the cracks. So you either think we're really back and everything's going to be great, or you think we've probably overachieved and we're papering the cracks. But we both meet in the middle on the transfer window. The optimistic people know the transfer window is important, and the pessimistic people know the transfer window is essential. So that's where we meet, and next season defines the truth. I would have taken Garner, Scott and Fernandez, says United Real. And Shane says, today marks 9 years since the Manchester Arena bombing during Ariana Grande's concert, always remembered. Yeah, I've seen, I didn't realise it was 9 years today. Apologies for that. But I can't believe it's 9 years since that tragedy as well. So obviously thoughts and prayers with everybody impacted by that. And, you know, I can't, as I say, I can't believe that's 9 years, Shane, but thank you very much for the message. Much love from Seattle, Mark, says Austin. Thank you very much for that. Marlo said, you read my first, not my last. There we go. We're just waiting for 11 o'clock so that Michael Carrick gets announced, just so I can read out some of the comments and not have to do a separate video. But we have got nearly 11,000 watching. Share the video. Let's get to 11,000 for Carrick's announcement. Appreciate that. What else were you going to talk about? I was just going to cover something around Bruno from Fabrizio Romano, where he basically said that he thinks that Man United fans don't need to be worried about Bruno's future. Edison has Fred written all over him, but worse, is Marlo. That's the first one I can see. Bring back closer than close for transfers, says Jack. Yeah, but the thing about closer than close is you have to be in a position where you have a deal that's closer than close. You know, Beth says she'd be deflated if Edison was the first signing, but would put up with it if it was the third. Where was this thing I wanted to give you on Bruno? Joshua Xerxes, 25 today, by the way. I think it's time to move on. I thought Xerxes was 23. 25. He probably was 23 when we bought him. Yeah, time to move him on, definitely. Fabrizio Romano on Bruno. If you want my feeling, speaking to sources nowadays, after the Champions League qualification, after the Carrick success, my understanding is that United fans can be quite relaxed and happy with the Bruno situation. The feeling I've been speaking to my sources is that Bruno is very excited about the possibility of playing Champions League football again with Man United. So at the moment, there is no concrete movement about Bruno leaving the club. So it's likely that he will stay and continue at Manchester United, which I think we're all feeling that anyway. I will do an England squad announcement on That's Football shortly. No Liverpool player in an England squad for a major tournament since 1986. I didn't realise that. That's bad. People losing their shit about Rashford. I mean, that just shows you I don't do agendas, isn't it? I take every bit of news and deal with it in an emotional way, and I'm unpredictable in that sense, but I don't have a problem with Rashford. And as I said, waking up this morning, I was disappointed for Maguire, but I think the overreaction to it is embarrassing this morning. You know, it's for him and the people close to him to be disappointed. I think as fans, fucking, you know, move on. It's embarrassing. I'm just waiting for this Carrick announcement. Has it been done? Have they announced it? Boy Wonder says Rashford was ignoring training for nightclubs. Carrick being Ollie's assistant could be an advantage. He has a lot of insight, says Austin. They posted it on Instagram. Let's have a look. It's on the website. Okay, that's what I want. Let's go. Yeah, I didn't realise that as well, that Harry Maguire's last England game competitively was actually 2024, 2 years ago. Carrick continues as head coach. Man United is delighted to announce that Michael Carrick will continue as head coach of the men's team, having signed a new contract till 2028. So it's a 2-year deal as head coach. Carrick returned to United as head coach, blah, blah, blah. Qualification, yes. From the moment I arrived here 20 years ago, I felt the magic. Carrying the responsibility of leading our special club fills me with pride. Throughout the past 5 months, the group of players have shown they can reach the standards of resilience, togetherness and determination that we demand. Now it's time to move forward together with ambition and a clear sense of purpose. Man United and our incredible supporters deserve to be challenging for the biggest honours again. Will Cox, Coxie says, Michael has thoroughly earned the opportunity to continue leading our men's team. Plus, I can't really be asked to run a thorough process and interview better candidates because they'll probably undermine me on a daily basis and I have a fragile ego. Also, I'd love to get involved in coaching myself, and Michael has said that I can take training on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. We look forward to working together, and ultimately, if we're successful, it will be down to me, and Michael has accepted that contractually and personally. Thank you very much. I've made that up. Michael has thoroughly earned the opportunity to continue leading our men's team. In the time he has been doing the role, we have seen positive results on the pitch, but more than that, an approach which aligns with the club's values, traditions and history. Mate, the style of football does not align with our values, traditions and history. Sod off back to Blackburn. Michael's achievements in leading the club back to the Champions League should not be understated. He has forged a strong bond with the players and can be proud winning culture at Carrington and in the dressing room, which we are continuing to build. There we go. Yeah, pretty boring announcement, really. If I'm being honest, probably wasn't worth staying till 11. But we wish Michael Carrick all the best, and hopefully it will work out. Do you think because of us retaining Steve Holland, we might be a bit better in tournaments because he's reached finals and semis with England, says Jonathan. Yes, Jonathan, I really do think that because Steve Holland was assistant coach with Southgate in the World Cup and the Euros, that's going to really help us in a Champions League because they're so similar. Sarcasm. Robert McCormack says, Carrick, Rashford's right. Club backed Amrim over him. He went on to score free kicks in El Clasico and we got left with the worst manager in our history. Yeah, but I disagree with you, Robert, because it's not about Amrim. It's not about Amrim, is it? Amrim's not here anymore. Rashford clearly has issues with the club and people are still who are at the club. Maybe for the reasons you've said, but it goes beyond that, certainly. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Great show this morning. I've got Ben Jacobs on. I don't know why I'm clapping. We've got Ben Jacobs back on the show at 2 o'clock. There'll be loads of transfer stuff there. Are we close to Edison? Are we close to Fernandez? Are we close to Belaba? What's happening with Anderson? What's happening with Tonali? What's happening with Chiumini? That's 6 updates I want in the first 5 minutes from Beth straight away. So they better talk fast. 2 o'clock. I will be there in the chat. Will you? Thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe. Great show this morning. I'm back with you at 8 o'clock. Might have a beer tonight. Speak to you in a bit.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.